Sam was here, I could have Sam read it, but he's not. Sam and Jenica. But he's not a Sam, he's a Sam. Anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day, this beautiful morning, and the chance to get together again and talk about your word, and talk about your work in our lives and the things that you're doing. Lord, help us to trust you during these times, during every time. But help us to trust you, and we pray that you keep us healthy and safe. We will trust you, we will depend on you, we will have faith in you, Lord, because you are good. And help us to see your kindness and help us to reflect that kindness and that goodness to others around us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Right. Summer!
Yeah.
Oh, that is more fun.
They're updating.
Can you read it like Grandpa did?
I can.
The fruit of the Spirit is love.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Galatians.
Is there any more? Or is it just...
I'm going to go ahead and say we should try to get our definition of those from the Bible. Okay, what do you think? You're not sure about that? So I want to talk about by defining this. When I was starting to study on this, I looked accidentally at the kindness word first, and I realized that that is also translated goodness. And then I looked a little bit further and I realized that there are at least three major New Testament words for goodness. So you Greek scholars have fun, stay along here. The first one is agathosune. We get the name Agatha, and not too many people name their babies Agatha anymore. I don't know why. But agathosune means it's a moral good. It's, the nuance is that it's a moral kind of good. It's like when things are correct and right and true. That's good. It's like when we say, that's a good decision, or that's a good answer, or you're making some good choices. That's the agathosune, moral good. There's also kalos, which is kind of this interesting Greek idea for beauty. It means it's actually pleasing and beautiful and attractive and admirable and commendable and groovy, right? That's the Greek translation, it's groovy. That kind of goodness. It's more of it has the nuance, and these things are a little bit interchangeable, but it has a nuance of aesthetic kind of good. Like, that was a good movie, right? You might be talking about the technical, but it's appealing to you, right? And then the other one that this one is, the actually kindness from this passage is presotes. Say that with me. Presotes. It's not the stuff that you put on your roof to keep going quiet. But it might be related to that. I don't know. Presotes. And that's the whole idea of something being useful or beneficial or having integrity. It's the word we get, you know, kindness, the translated kindness in the New Testament. Like, kind of the relational idea of good. Like, you're a good friend to me. You're good. You're treating me good. You're treating me well, the right way to say it. You know. That idea. Now the above different descriptions, the different words, are kind of interchangeable, but they do have different nuances. And Paul in particular loves to use all of them at various times, sometimes two or three of them in the same sentence to describe this. And this, in Galatians, he's saying, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, and kindness. And those words can almost be flip-flop, goodness and kindness, except the goodness is that moral good, and the kindness is that relational good. Does that make sense? You with me? That's the nuance. The first one is that moral good, and the second one is that relational good. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Now, as I thought about this passage, I thought about, well, you know, good. I'm talking about goodness and kindness. And I hate when I have to preach on something I'm not really that good at. You know, I'd really like to preach on the things that I'm experts on. So we're going to talk about music theory today. Just so that you know, there are eight notes in the scale. Like if you start with C, it's C, D, E, F, G, A, right? And then B, and then, you know, then you're back to C. Okay, we're not going to do that anyway. We're going to talk about goodness. Even though I'm not as amazing at goodness, I know I'm not the kalos, the beautiful, the pleasing good, because it turns out that an old bald man is not any standard of beauty. Been trying, but it ain't working. So I struggle with this, and I'll be honest right away, I struggle with this thinking, how am I good? And I know that I can be good in some ways. I can be good in certain situations, certain circumstances. When the planets line up, I can be a pretty kind person, right? When the planets line up, I can be pretty kind to kids as long as they don't get loud, as long as they don't take my food. If I have coffee in the morning, I can be pretty kind. If I have coffee in the afternoon, I can still be kind. In the evening, I'm probably more kind. So you never get to see that. I'm much more kind than you think I am. Anyway, it's a good thing that God doesn't tell us that we have to be experts at this stuff before we read it, understand it, apply it, and even preach on it. The first thing that we need to know, we've kind of defined what good is from the New Testament. There are also two Old Testament words that are used. Tov is an interesting one. I think that was brought up. Did you bring that one up, Aaron, a couple weeks ago? I think at some point. Tov, and it's really funny, but the Hebrew is fascinating because it doesn't like to use superlatives. It doesn't go more Tov. It just says Tov, Tov. Good, good. Like when God created the heavens and the earth, he saw that it was good, and he created mankind, and he saw that they were Tov, Tov. So that's pretty cool. And another word is Chesed. Chesed, you have to spit. But don't wear a mask if you do that. Chesed, it's C-H-E-S-E-D, which is like cheese, but it's not cheese. Chesed. Chesed. I have a friend named Elad, he's from Israel. He talks like that all the time. He goes, hey, it's good to see you. Except he's not Spanish. Sorry. God embodies all three types of good, right? So where do we get good? If we want to learn how to be good, the only place we're going to get it is from God. See, we can't come up with our own definition of good. We can't come up with our own source and say, I'm going to be good because I'm going to try really hard as God would say, I'm going to squeeze it out of some orifice. No, I'm going to be good because I'm going to learn about God. I'm going to know and I'm going to develop my relationship with God so that I become relationally, morally, maybe somewhat aesthetically good, okay? And we cannot possibly do this apart from God. Anybody try to be good and then stuff happens? And we're trying so hard. Imagine that Brad, I'm talking about Brad invented this game. And it was the coolest game in the world. Everybody wanted to play this game that Brad invented. And he wants everybody to play this game. It's kind of like some really cool D&D game, only cool for cool people. And Brad invented it. The thing is, we all wanted to play it, and we tried to play it, right? We tried to play it on our own apart from Brad, and we couldn't do it, and it turned out boring, and we wrecked the game. Because we couldn't do it apart from Brad. But if we were around Brad, we could play that game right. If Brad was running that game, we could play that game properly, the D&D game. Can you imagine that? That's what goodness is. That's what kindness is. Scripture says that God is good. And no one is righteous. Not even one. I think I have that scripture there. So apart from God, we get this black screen. All are turned away. All have become useless. No one does good. Not a single one. And that's that sotes, creosote. Right? That creosote good, that moral good. Nobody is moral good apart from God. It's all polluted. It's all messed up. Does it mean that we can't do good at all, ever? No, of course we can do good. We were created in God's image. Every human being was created in God's image. We are able to do good, but it's marred, it's blurred, it's not a very good reflection. And then when troubles hit, when difficulties come, it doesn't work out. So the only way to truly begin to be good is to be like our Creator and to build that relationship back, which which is possible because God gave his son to restore that relationship. That's the only way to have a relationship with God and get that true godly good, to be able to play that game that Brad invented about being good, right? Scripture, Titus 3, 4 through 6. I think I have that. Remember anything from Titus? But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, there it is. That's God's kindness. He is so kind. It's so big. I don't know how to pronounce it anymore. I have to look it up. Look at that. Christotes. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. Poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. This passage is about the fruit of the Spirit. It's about God's Spirit in us producing this fruit. Without the Spirit of God, you're not going to produce it properly. You're going to get deformed, malformed fruit. You're going to get like the pears on my pear tree that have worms in them. Mm-hmm. Anybody want pears, by the way? Not mine. Okay, I get it. You can cut around the pears, they're perfectly edible. You cut around the, well, cut around the worms, perfectly edible. There's maybe a little pear left. You don't mind a little worm scat, it's good. So this is how we produce the fruit of the Spirit. By the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit. So we want to get it from the source. And Psalm 107 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." Those are both of those words. Tov, God is Tov, and his chesed endures forever. Anytime you see the word faithful love or steadfast love, that's that amazing Hebrew word chesed. You gotta learn to say it, chesed. It's really, it's fun. Come on, try it. That's right. That's all for you. You sound a little like Gollum, but that's okay. All right, moving on. How do I get it? How do I become good and kind? The thing is, the goodness and kindness we're talking about, it really shows up when things aren't going well for you. That's when it tends to show up. You know, we were talking, joking with Beth about it. It's like somebody said, you know, when a cup is jostled, when there's something sweet in the cup, it's still something sweet. It's like, oh, shut up. I feel like crap. Don't make me do this. We prove, I like this passage in 2 Corinthians 6. It says, "We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love." That's one of those places where Paul does that bragging. And he says he's not boasting, but he says, yeah, I'm going to boast a little bit. And he continues to boast, and basically says, but it's okay, because you need it. You need to hear me boast. And Paul is talking about how he's endured all of this stuff, right? He's been through all, he's been starved, he's been shipwrecked, he's been had stones thrown at him, he's left for dead, he's been beaten by rods and whips, he's been jailed. And he's still okay. And he still shines out with goodness and kindness. Well, I would like that. Not the beatings part. I already get that. But I'd like to show out that kindness and that goodness in the midst of that, in the midst of these circumstances. Got a question for you. What do you think is the opposite of kindness? The opposite of kindness?
Selfish.
Good try, yeah, probably. What's that?
Hatred's
interesting.
Cruelty.
Now there we go. That's getting interesting.
Meanness.
Meanness. Yeah, meanness. I like meanness because meanness is a funny word. The original idea was like it's just kind of average.
Oh, mean.
Mean. Yeah, like the mean or the medium. The medium. It was meanness. That's rather mean. And that whole idea is that really you're not doing anything special for anyone at all. And I like that selfishness. I love that cruelty concept, too. That, like, if you're not being kind, The opposite is cruel. I know that often when somebody's angry at me or I'm in a bad situation, what comes out? Cruelty. Meanness. That's the kind of thing that comes out. I want to fight back and somebody's going to pay for it. Anybody else feel that way?
Just me. Great.
All right. Confession time with Dan. You too. All right, you sinner. But we're buds and we're forgiven. You know, every one of us has one of those days when nothing goes right, don't we? And I had one of those days recently. It wasn't anything horrible. It was more like death by a thousand cuts, okay? I wanted to ride my bike and discovered that I had a pedal that was broken, right? So I said, okay, I'm not going to ride my bike today. I'm going to mow the lawn because I can do something productive. So I got on the riding mower. I mowed about a third of the lawn and the riding mower quit. Didn't work. I tried to fix it, but I couldn't fix it. I had to order a part. So I got out the push mower. Okay, fine. I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to mow the lawn with a push mower, our half acre of mostly dandelions. I'm going to mow that with a push mower. I mow about 30 feet and the push mower quit. And it starts leaking gas all over the lawn. And I think, okay, fine. I do not have a backup plan here. I'm just going to get a cold Dr. Pepper out of the fridge and sit in the front patio on a chair. We were out of Dr. Pepper, and they didn't have it in the store. And that was my attitude. Was it gracious? Was it kind? No, it was not. It's hard to be nice when you don't feel nice. And you know, back to that passage of Paul talking in 1 Corinthians 6, he went through a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of difficult circumstances there. In fact, I'm going to just kind of read some of that to you because I think it's fascinating. Do I have it here? Yes, I do. In everything we do, we show that we are ministers, true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We've been beaten, put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. Now that, yeah. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by sincere love. So I'm going to say this. The only way to do it is not by your own strength. My own strength runs out when I have troubles and calamities. And when my cup is jostled, it ain't good. And I want what's in there to be good. And so when we're trying to do this in our own strength, if we say, I'm going to try really hard to control my attitude, it may not work. You may have a lot more patience than I do. You may be able to deal with stuff. You may be able to put on a face when inside you're just wanting to kill somebody, right? You may be able to look happy, but really, you want that heart to change, don't you? You want to be able to face that stuff and realize that deep inside there is peace and there is kindness, and I don't want it to spill over onto my friends and my wife and my son and my neighbors and the gas station attendant and the people at the grocery store. Right? Now I bet you want to know how to do this, don't you? Mm-hmm. There are only a few ways to accomplish this, and as far as I know, one of them may involve controlled substances. But the better and more genuine way is to be led by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of Dan trying hard. Not the fruit of Mel trying hard, not the fruit even of Aaron trying hard. The fruit of the Spirit is what joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, etc. The only way to do this is to be led by the Holy Spirit. And honestly, in my opinion, it's not necessarily a mystical experience to be led by the Holy Spirit. I'm all for awesome mystical experiences if you've got them. Smoke them if you got them, folks. But honestly, I don't think being led by the Holy Spirit is necessarily a mystical thing. It's not like you've got to sit with your legs crossed in some yoga pose and chant for an hour and then just hope that you get in touch with God and He somehow allows you to be nice to your frickin' neighbor. Or wife. Om. here's something, and I'm sorry for being so basic, but this is one of the best things I can come up with. How many times have you actually asked the Holy Spirit to guide you? You know, Jesus said he's sending you his guide, and the Holy Spirit dwells within you. You believe that? Yeah. Have you asked him lately when you're facing a situation and you're kind of angry to say, hey, Holy Spirit, guide me. God, guide me by your Holy Spirit to say something better, to do something different than I want to, that comes out of my sinful nature. And I think that's just the place to start, to just do that. And you don't have to do it out loud. You know, when you're about to yell at Mel, you go, Holy Spirit, guide me. I'm about to. Why should you say? Then you might just be able to say something nice. So I'm going to suggest that the first one. I know it's obvious. Is that okay? You okay with that idea? You can actually ask in quietness in your heart, silently, God, guide me by your Holy Spirit to be a little nicer in this situation, to be different than how I feel right now. It's okay that you feel that way. It's expected. Another little idea that helps me, sounds a little sideways, so you try to get to know people well. You try to understand people's situations. I think the Holy Spirit gives us each other for that reason. I think he gives us church. That's one of the reasons that he gives us a church community, a community of believers, so that we get to know each other's stories. People, that's actually one of the major reasons why we're asking questions around this group on Sundays, so we can get to know each other. That's why when you answer that question, don't just answer the person sitting up here. You're answering to the entire room, so try to be a little louder if possible. We'll try to get mics out to you because I have a couple of cool mic volunteers right now. Right? And it's really about understanding people's stories. Isn't it true that you can be kinder and nicer and more good to people when you actually know their story? Isn't it true that you can have that relational goodness? Yeah. So God gave us a community here for many good reasons. I have a hair, it's not one of mine. Alright, I don't know, just blew into my face. Finally, we need to confess to each other. We need to confess to each other, and when we are not as kind as we should be, and I know that happens here. I know I've done that here. I've stepped on somebody's toes, I've said something mean, I haven't had time or whatever, and sometimes I need to confess. And you can confess to each other. You can confess even when it's not about each other, and that's why we're here. One of the reasons that we confess is, well, I want to say this. One of the people who's really, really good at this, I don't know if you noticed this, one of the people here is Katie, my dear sister, is really good. She might blunder in, and I hope I'm not offending you, Katie, probably am, but I'll confess later. You know, there's a tendency sometimes for us to blunder in, say the wrong thing, but Katie's so good at coming back and saying, I think I might have said this, and I think that might have, you know, been the wrong thing to say. I really admire that. And that, I know we don't like to do that because that's like admitting guilt, right? People don't like to confess much because, like, you know, we're admitting our failure. But I think it's maybe time to learn how to do that as a community. So just those three things are the ideas that I have for learning how to be kind. Really just ask God to, by his Holy Spirit, to instruct you and to lead you when you're in a situation. You know, whether it's with your wife or your husband or your friends or your sister or your brother. The second one, of course, is, you know, get to know people. And the third one is confess. Those are the three that I have right now. If you've got some other ones that are great, I guess we'll hear them. And Grant, you want to come up and do some questions?